Good morning. It's good to see you here this morning at Barbie's Grove. Got a pretty decent group. Always got a few sick folks, but or those that are working, but you're here, and we're so glad, and the Lord's here. You brought him with you. If you're a Christian, he lives inside of you, and you brought him with you. And you don't leave him here. You take him home with you, because wherever you go, there's where the Lord is. But it's always good when we get together as God's people and the presence of the Lord. You know, Paul writes to one of the churches and says, when you get together, the Lord's there and I'm there. Amen. Now, Paul may have been 50 miles or 200 or 300 miles away, but he said, I'm with you in spirit and the Lord's there and y'all are there and you can have a blessing. So good to be here. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for every blessing of life you've given us. Thank you for your presence. We offer this service to you as a sacrifice of worship and praise, praying, Father, that the Spirit of God might have his way in our lives. Lord, we pray for those that might not be here today because of sickness. Pray that you'll touch them with your presence. And Father, I pray that today that Jesus Christ will be lifted up and honored and glorified. Lord, as we come before you, you know all of our individual needs and desires and thoughts. Out of your grace and your mercy, your love, minister to each of us in a way that we need particular a touch from you. We do love you, Lord, and we thank you for your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ed, and good morning, everyone. Oh, come on, you can do better than that. Good morning. I like that. Now we're okay. Now we're okay. Well, as we do every Sunday morning, let's have our hymn sing together. The pastor was just talking about how we have God, Jesus with us. We need to tell the world that we're a Christian. That's what the song says. Let's all stand and sing, I'll tell the world I'm a Christian.
I'll tell the world that
much. Remain standing for prayer, please. I have some announcements I want to share with you at this particular time. And that is, let's not remember, don't forget, Wednesday night is Bible study night. So be come at 6:30 and be here for that. No evening services tonight, okay? We will have today, though, our quarterly conference. Our quarterly conference will be today. And so that's right after the pastor finished the sermon today. We'll have that. The annual contribution statements that you have for your taxes are be in your mailbox. Please pick them up and take them with you because the tax man cometh, right? And that's correct. You're going to do a lot of those, aren't you? You want to do mine? No, I'm kidding. Anyway, you can be ready. They're there for you. So, Baptist Men's Day coming up January the 26th. Brother Jeff, you want to speak to that?
Everybody's invited. It's not just the men. So if you want to come, and downstairs, Justin Kepler will be giving his testimony. And cooks need to be here at 6 a.m. And folks, we need all we can get to come. So I'll be reminding you with a one call also. But we need your help.
And the breakfast is going to be a full breakfast. It won't be donuts.
No continental breakfast.
So come and be prepared. I hope come hungry. What we want, right, Jeff?
That's it.
God, we'll have it.
8 o'clock for breakfast.
8 o'clock. All right. Sounds good. Sounds wonderful. I'm glad to hear Justin speaking. I'll be looking forward to that. Sure will.
I am.
Sure will. I know you are. I know you are. And let's also remember Sanctity of Human Life. That's coming up. And Tonda, I know you want to speak about the bottles here. So if you would come down and speak to us. About giving the Sanctity of Human Life the bottles here.
I'm already missing a couple, and I'm so happy to see that. We have 20 bottles. I picked those up this week. The Pregnancy Resource, again, was so happy that our church was going to be assisting and helping with this goal for them. They are busy, busy. This is their 41st anniversary. For Pregnancy Resource. I don't know why that number alarmed me. I said to Gary last night when I was reading over this, and I said, oh my gracious, this is a lot of years. You know, time just gets away. But this is such a wonderful, wonderful opportunity we have in our community to assist these women and our babies. There's nothing more important than human life. Life is a gift from God. Pastor Jim, the lesson this morning, we thank him so much for his words in Sunday school. A gift from God, we are to protect and preserve. One of the scriptures from Psalms, I praise you for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. You know, gift, all lives matter. And this is just a little small way we can show our love and care in our community. We're going to have the bottles up front here. You see them already across down here in front of you. After church, please grab one if you can. These do not require only coins, only dollars. You can put your checks in them. It works fine. We turn these back in. I will be taking them back the week of the 10th. We'll bring them all back to the church on the 9th. And we even have, for the electronic savvy people with your phones, the little QR code is posted back here on the bulletin board. So you can walk by with your phones and take care of it in that manner. That works fine. Key in whatever your donation is. They will be elated, however it can go in, whether it's check, dollars, coins, they will handle it. I will box those up, carrying them by. They will count it all for us and send back a nice thank you letter to Brenda, and then she'll let us know what our donations are. Last year, we were at $538. I was so happy about that number, but this year, our goal is $600. If we met $538, we're going to go a little higher. Amen. Let's make our goal $600 and see if we can meet that, okay? Thank you all for your help.
Thank you, Tom.
To the pregnancy resource, please, because everything goes directly to them. Yes, thank you.
All right, thank you, Tonda. Quite a great, very worthwhile cause. You'd be surprised. No, you wouldn't be surprised how some parts of the world, and I hope we'll never be part of it, they have no sanctity for human life. And we certainly don't want to ever get to that point in America. Never, never, never. So thank you, Tonda. I appreciate that very, very much. Do we have any other announcements that I may have overlooked anywhere? Okay, with that in mind, then let's go to our prayer request for today. I have several that's already been given to me. Let's remember Lionel. Lionel's not with us today. Lionel's having some problems with his feet. He's unable actually to walk, and so without help of a cane. And so we hope and pray that the doctors are going to find out what's wrong today. Tamara and I talked this morning, and I talked to Lionel as well by text. And so let's pray for him. Pray for Donna, my wife. She's got to deal with his wrist broken, and she's in a cast. And I tell everybody she's an impatient patient. And so we'll get through with that. But she's in pain. And then when you're in pain, you get a little impatient. So let's keep her in our prayers. Please do. And it's okay to pray for me, too, as a caregiver. That'll be all right. That'll be all right. Appreciate the calls and the concerns from her. Let's remember Aunt Betty this morning as she's home. I'm able to talk to Betty. Betty's amazingly doing well. We had thought there for a while the stroke might leave her in a real, real physical problem, but it seems like she's going to be. Tonda, you want to, or Tamara, somebody. That's wonderful. That's wonderful.
She was really good yesterday. I stopped at lunchtime. She was dressed and had her jewelry on.
Yeah. Yeah. I
good.
That's good. Life is good. Yeah, I had a good talk with her. I really did. She seemed to be fine. All right. Are there others this morning? Yes, Will.
Pray for my friend R.J. Clark. He's struggling in his walk of faith and walk with God.
R.J. Clark.
Yes.
Okay.
The family of Byron Crump.
What now?
The family of Byron Crump.
Crump, okay.
B-I-R-R-A-N.
Foreman. Okay. June, is that June?
Junior
Foreman. Let's remember Junior Foreman.
The family.
The family of.
The family of Jeanette Honeycutt.
Jeanette Honeycutt family, okay. Are the others?
My cousin passed away this past week, Terry D. Smith.
I'm sorry, Miss Smith.
The family of Terry D. Smith.
I'm sorry.
Terry
Smith.
Smith.
Okay. How do you spell that?
M-E-S-L-I-T-H.
Okay. I'm sorry, my hearing aids are in, but now somehow they're not working, so yeah, you wait, you'll get old someday. Are the others? Yes.
Lainey is having a procedure this week. So
Lainey, okay. All right. Others? Yes.
Declare that Jeanette Honeycutt is Steve's aunt from Waynesboro.
Okay.
Our family.
Okay. All righty. Others? Harry, okay.
He's got a spot on his lungs and they got a biopsy.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, Harry used to be a member here, as a matter of fact. So, Harry Stogner, okay. Others? Then let's go. Yes, Will.
One more. I'm sorry, I forgot to mention. Debbie Allen, it's our neighbor's wife. She's having back problems again. She just got injections in her back to help her like spine feel better, but
okay. All right. All right. Have a lot this morning. Have a lot to lift up before the Lord this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so thankful for an opportunity we can be in your house this morning. And Lord, as I've said many times before I ask you, Lord, for anything, let me thank you. Let me thank you, first of all, for the fact that the folks are here this morning, for the help they have to be here, and Lord, for their willingness to be here. And we thank you for that time. A time of worship now, Lord, as our Sunday school lesson talked about in our youth this morning, a time of worship is needed by all of us. And let's all remember that to Lord as we come together today. It is a time of worship. But Lord, it is also a time for petitions, a time that we can bring to you people that, Lord, are hurting. And Lord, the people that needs your touch and your healing. And we pray for them this morning by lifting them up by name. We pray for Lionel this morning, and we pray for him that he will have healing for his feet and his legs. Pray for Donna, Lord, as she goes through the breaking of that wrist, and it's going to be 5 weeks yet, Lord, so we pray for her. Lord, we're so thankful for Aunt Betty, Lord, and the fact that she's doing much better than, Lord, we had really thought when we heard the word stroke. But, Lord, we do thank you for your power. We thank you for your love. We thank you for her. R.S. Clark family, Lord, we pray for them. We pray for Lainey. We pray for that. We pray for Debbie Allen. We pray, Lord, for Teresa this morning. Lift her up for you this morning and for Harry Stogner. We pray for the Junior Foreman family, for the Jeanette Honeycutt family, and for Terry Methodist. And, Lord, we lift them up to you, Lord, and we ask, Lord, if it be your precious will, that you would fit the needs of their needs today, Lord. And, Lord, we know if you fit a need, it'll be a perfect fit. And we thank you, Lord, for that. Now, Lord, as we think about our service today, we pray, Lord, for a special time for Pastor Ed as he comes before us with this sermon. And then, Lord, as we enter into business meeting, Lord, we pray for your guidance. We pray for your wisdom as we go through our business meeting today. We thank you for the many blessings, the many, many, many blessings that you give us each and every day. And, Lord, I pray this prayer in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, we're going to do our song of praise this morning. It's a song that, it's actually a chorus, and it's a beautiful chorus, and we're standing on holy ground, and I happen to believe that the church is a place of holy ground. I really do believe that, because Christ is with us here, and where he is, it's holy ground, and I believe that. Let's all stand and sing this chorus. I want you to sing the chorus twice with the music, and then the third time we sing it, we're going to sing it a cappella. And we'll enjoy that. It's a beautiful, beautiful song. Okay, ladies. Said, amen. You may be seated. Children, you are dismissed.
If I were real mean, I'd ask how many of you could tell what I preached last week. But I won't do that. I'll just remind you. Remember, I used the scripture, if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, how will the people know to gather for battle? And I talked about, in the beginning at least, about how the lost world's confused. Because Christians, people that say they're Christian, have so many different tunes that they're playing. Let me just remind you of a few of them. The universalist, who say he's a Christian, says that everybody's going to be saved. Doesn't matter whether you're Baptist, Methodist, Catholic, Charismatic, Pentecostal, Muslim, Buddhist, Hindu, everybody's going to be saved. They would tell you that at this moment, Stalin, Hitler, Mussolini, Osama bin Laden, and the whole crowd's fellowshipping with Jesus at this moment. They would say that the man that down in New Orleans a few weeks ago drove his truck through the crowd, killed some people, jumped out of the truck and went to shooting. When the police killed him, he went straight to glory. I don't believe that. I don't think you do either. But that's one of the tunes that people that say they're Christian playing. And then you have the Calvinists who say, well, some people are going to be saved and go to heaven, some don't. And it doesn't matter what you want. You can be a lost, terrible person, but irresistible grace is going to take you to heaven. And you can want with all your heart to be saved and love Jesus, but if you're not one of the chosen few, you're not going to make it. And then you got the extreme fundamentalists that say, yes, you've got to believe in Jesus, but if you're really a Christian, you're going to keep our rules. And most of their rules aren't nice to women, you know. Long hair, never cut your hair. You got to wear skirts down to the floor, and you got to stay with your husband no matter how bad he treats you and all that kind of stuff. And then you got all of those others of us that are in between those extremes. We believe you got to know Jesus. You got to proclaim him as Lord and Savior if you're going to go to heaven. Now, all of those can't be correct. So how do you know? How do you know clearly what's right and what's wrong? How do you know how to live what's right and what's wrong? I want to talk about that today. Now, I want to make a couple of sort of disclaimers to start with. First, God does speak to unsaved people, and God does hear the prayers of unsaved people. I mean, if didn't, you couldn't get saved. All of us that were Christian, at some point, God spoke to us and said, Jesus died for you, and I want you to be one of my children. Would you accept Jesus Christ? God spoke to us, and then we prayed a sinner's prayer. Father, I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I believe that he died on the cross and that he rose again, and I accept him as my Lord and Savior. And so God does speak to unsaved people. And occasionally, perhaps out of his grace and mercy, he may speak to somebody outside of the plan of salvation. But that's not a usual thing. The other thing is, God sees us as the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It sort of staggers our mind to think about it, but when God looks at you and me, he sees us through a filter of Jesus. If we're Christian, we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, according to the Bible. So God sees us as righteous, justified. Says we are justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. God sees us this way. So that's God's perspective of us. However, the Bible says that there and teaches us that there's some ways that we can enhance our ability to see God, our ability to experience God, our ability to know the will and the plan and the ways of God. And that's what I really want to focus on this morning. Our first scripture is going to be in the Matthew chapter 5. And the Sermon on the Mount and a couple of verses that we see the Beatitudes. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Jesus said those who have a purity of heart will really see God. that out of the purity of our heart, God becomes clearer. Now, right above that in Matthew 5:6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. If you want to live right, and it's a consuming passion, a consuming hunger of your heart, he says, God's going to fill you with that righteousness. Now, you know, I dare say there's probably a few of you sitting here right now and say, man, I'm already hungry. Hurry up, preacher. We got to get out of here. But he's talking about here a real hunger. A real hunger. There's a lady down at Troy First Baptist when I preached down there. She's probably in her mid-90s by now, and as far as I know, she's still going to church regularly. Unless she's gotten a little more decrepit in the last couple of months. Because last time I was down there for an ordination, she was there. And originally she and her husband were from here in Stanley County. And I guess you're probably back in the Depression days. She said her husband, he was just a boy at that time, said he was so hungry one day he was walking down the road and he saw a banana peel that somebody had thrown on the side of the road and he picked it up and ate it. Now that's hunger. That's hunger. It'd be bad enough if you ate it straight, you know, as you peel the banana, or just ate the banana without peeling it. But to pick up one on the side of the road that somebody else had discarded, now that's hunger. How hungry are we for righteousness? How hungry are we for righteousness? But the scripture that I really want us to focus on for a minute is back in Psalm 24. Psalm 24. Psalm 24, verse 3. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Now let me use three or four illustrations to give you the point here. You know, the cleaner your windshield is, the better you can see to drive. The cleaner the windows of your house are, the more you can see the beauty outside in the sunshine. The cleaner your glasses are, the easier it is to read. You ever be reading along, you think? You pull your glasses off and you see all this stuff on them and you go clean them off, you think, oh, that's clear now. But the one that hit me this morning, when I left the house, it's foggy. Foggy when you left the house? I could see probably about a quarter of a mile. And the thought came to me, if I were going to drive to Charlotte this afternoon, which would I prefer? Beautiful, clear, sunshiny skies, or to be so foggy I couldn't see the front end of my vehicle? Now, which would you prefer? The point being this, God has blessings, God has teachings, God has words of comfort and instruction and direction for all of us. But how clear we see them depends on us. Whether or not we see clearly makes a difference. And, you know, like the fog will burn off over a period of time. We don't all of a sudden, most of us, go from so foggy you can't see the front end of your vehicle to clear skies. But over a period of years, we ought to be clearing up and we ought to be seeing more clearly the things of God, understanding more clearly the things of God, hearing more clearly the voice of God. He says, who shall stand in God's holy place? And he gives four things there. First, he hath clean hands, pure heart, not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. I'm going to first, just how pure is your heart? How pure is your heart? What do you think about? Meditate on. There are people I know that they spend their life meditating on evil things, getting revenge, hate, prejudice. And then there are people that spend their life thinking on things of love. Kindness, helpfulness. How clean are our hands? You know, you can use your hands to do things that are evil, or you use your hands to do things that are good. We can use our hands to hurt people. We can use our hands to help people. For some reason, while I was running over these notes this morning, I thought about a lady that several times when I pastored in Siler City, she would show up at our house and say to me and Pamela, can I stay here for a few days? And she'd be beaten black and blue by her husband. He used his hand. He was supposed to be a Christian. He was a member of the church. But he used his hands in an evil way. But I also know people that are, well, just like right now, they're up in the mountains rebuilding homes, helping people who, you know, whose homes were destroyed. There are people who, like the Good Samaritan, they're out here to using their hands to help with the hurting. How clean are our hands? I thought about this, you know, all of us probably can remember back to when we were kids and we'd be playing out in the yard and Mom would come to the door and say, come on in, it's supper time. And as we came in the door, she'd say, now wash your hands. And then when you came back in to the kitchen, she'd say, now let me see your hands. And then how many times did she have to say, go back to the bathroom and wash them again, and this time use soap and water. You see, Mama didn't want us dropping dirt in the creamed potatoes while we were dipping them out. Mama didn't want us contaminating the food. Mama didn't want us to be getting sick if our hands had been somewhere filthy. How clean are our hands? And then he says, had not lifted up his soul unto vanity. What's the focus of your thoughts and your life goals? You know, I'll say 8, 10, 12, 14, I had two life goals. One was do everything I could to serve Jesus. And the other was to be the best baseball player since Babe Ruth. Well, since I couldn't hit and I ran slow and I couldn't throw the ball too hard, that one went out of the picture pretty soon. Dad said, "Oh, you run fast. It's just too long in the same spot." and that was the truth. But you know, I had those two life goals. I got a little older and got to be a, you know, teenager, and my life goal was still to serve God with all my heart. And then the other was, how can I get Pam to like me and love me and marry me? And that was two things I meditated on. And over the years, the one overriding goal is always, how can I please Jesus? How can I honor him? How can my life glorify him? How can my life serve him? And then at times, you know, it's how am I going to bring up my children? How am I going to pay these bills or whatever? But, you know, what are our goals? What do we think about? If you remember about 2 or 3 weeks ago, the newsletter, I said, you know, it's sad that there are people that can tell you all the sports statistics but can't tell you any scripture. They know who's winning on Dancing with the Stars, but they don't know who Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are, or the plan of salvation. There are people whose minds are full of all sorts of trivia knowledge, but don't know any scripture. It's interesting. Not every day. I'm not a tremendous fan, but sometimes I'll watch Jeopardy. You know, they'll have the categories and they'll ask the questions. And it's amazing some of the stuff that people know. And I don't have a clue what they're talking about. But it's also amazing that once every 2 or 3 weeks, they'll have a Bible category. And it's amazing how much they don't know. People lift up their soul into vanity when their life goals, their thoughts, their dreams don't parallel with God's dreams for them. God has a dream for you. God has a plan for you. God wants you to use you. God wants you to honor him. And the wonderful thing about it is, you don't have to be my goal. I just have to be my goal, you know, follow my goal. You just follow your path. I mean, you know, several times the Bible uses the idea of the body. My eyes don't do the function that my ears do. My hands don't do the function my feet do. And whatever your role is in the plan of God, just be the best you that you can be. When we come to the end of life, it won't matter how much money we've got in the bank, how much property we own. All that's going to matter is our relationship with Jesus. All that's going to matter is our relationship with Jesus. He then uses the phrase, nor sworn deceitfully. What type of words come out of your mouth? You know, James has the passage of scripture where he says, out of the same mouth sometimes comes blessing and cursing. And says, brethren, it shouldn't be. He says, you don't go to the same fountain and get bitter water and sweet water. He said, we, our tongues, our words should be truthful. People ought to know, I can count on him, I can count on her, they're not going to lie to me. Anybody in your family that you hate to see show up at the family reunions because you know they're going to be hateful? They're going to find something to pick at you about or others? Somehow or another, they're going to stir up a fuss? Maybe you don't have anybody like that in your family, but I think you probably do, some of you. And then you have those that you just can't wait to see. You haven't seen them since the last reunion, because you know they're going to say something helpful, encouraging, bless you. You can't wait to get in their presence. He says, pure heart, clean hands, not lifted up soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. So that's the person that's going to stand in the holy place of God. And he said, that's the person that's going to receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Now you see, all of these are things that you and I control. All of these are things that you and I control. Just like when you go home, you can sit down and eat lunch without washing your hands, or you can wash your hands before you eat lunch. It's your choice. And it's your choice and my choice about the words we say to one another. It's your choice and my choice about what we're going to meditate on, what we're going to focus on, whether, you know, they're like TV programs and all kinds of things that we can watch or not watch. And we can allow the Holy Spirit to direct us. And the whole point being this, what I started with. If we want to really hear God and see God and walk with God and walk in blessing with the fog clearing out, God's just told us how. Now, those people that decide that they're going to drive in the fog from the time they get saved till they die, it's pretty miserable. But the clearer they can see, the more blessed your life is going to be. And we have the choice. The psalmist says, here it is. Jesus said, same thing, blessed are the pure in heart. They're going to see God. Amen, amen, amen. The more we walk in purity and holiness, the clearer our view of God is, the louder we hear his voice. In other words, in a sense, we begin to hear the trumpet more clearly. And the trumpet that we play for the lost world is clearer so that they know really how to be saved. What did we just sing? I'll tell the world that I'm a Christian. We tell them with our lips, but we tell them with our lives. Amen. For just a moment, we'll have a hymn of invitation. If there's someone that needs to come to the altar and pray, if there's someone that needs to make some other decision, we invite you to come.
Thank you.
Do you know him today? Do not turn him away, oh Jesus, oh Jesus. Without him, how lost I would be.
Bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Remember, the baby bottle's down here, and there's some more over here in a little tub.